The award-winning A Black Executive Perspective podcast presents BEP Live. Hosted by Chris P. Reed and Tony Tidbett, where uncomfortable conversations take center stage. So, let's go there. What uncomfortable conversation are we having tonight?
Welcome to A Black Executive Perspective Live on BEP.
And here, when we can hear, when we got the mute, we don't have the mute button going on. We cut through the noise and get straight to what's happening. Power politics, leadership culture, and the decisions shaping our lives right now. No filters, no safe take, just honest dialogue and real accountability. So my buddy, what are we going to dive in tonight?
You know, it is good. It's a good nervous tension going on. I know this is something near and dear to your heart on a bunch of fronts. And so I was glad that we could actually chop this up. But we want to start with an uncomfortable truth because, you know, we cornered the market on uncomfortable conversations. And I want to talk about the fact that most promotions, whether you want to believe it or not, are not purely based on merit. Promotions often involve relationships, visibility, timing, sponsorship, mentorship, things like that, internal politics, obviously, and then agendas of the organization. And most adults, we know that. Whether we want to, you know, accept it or not, we know that. You can be the hardest worker in the room and still get passed over. Happens all the time. You can be the most qualified person and still watch somebody else get that job time and time again. That's the reality. But there's a certain institution where we desperately want merit to remain sacred. And it's near the top of the list, and that's the United States military. You got to have some background in it. You can't just show up and your resume is so stellar, or your interview is so stellar that you didn't earn your stripes, pun intended, right? So it's more than a symbolic phrase. And you want it to mean something, and you want to believe that that promotion is earned through leadership, competence, sacrifice, performance, and readiness. So not the politics, not the demographics, ideologies, and not what happens when who's in power at the moment. The reason why I wanted to talk to you about this specifically is because you were an enlisted guy and you understood kind of how that worked in that world. What do you think about that being a precursor to having the opportunity to lead soldiers?
Yeah, buddy. I mean, but one thing I just got to back up with, because you said something which I disagree with. You said most of people recognize that it's not meritocracy. And that's not true. That even though all the things you just got finished saying are accurate, and then you can say, hey, you've been passed. So the bottom line is people, when they want to believe it's merit based, even though it's not. Okay. And then they use that when they feel like they're not. If something's not being done to them, then somebody, all those other things you just got finished highlighting. But when they got promoted, or they didn't, if they got promoted, it was merit-based. When everybody else got to promote it, it was all the things you just got finished talking about, right? So that's because at the end of the day, we know that you just listed in a great job by you. Listing all the reasons why people get promoted and blah, blah, blah. And a lot of them have anything to do with merit. Now, to your question, the military should be about merit. Okay. Not just the military. Sports should be about merit, right? Anything that's performance based should be about merit, right? But let's stick with the military. If the military is not about merit, And we're going to dive into this, right? And this is also one of the reasons why we'll have why there's civilian leadership positions and then there's military leadership positions, right? And what's the role of both? But at the end of the day, it should be about merit. Now, let's also be fair too, because even in the military, the military was not integrated for years until 1948, okay? And so even in that situation, when they brought everybody together, there were times that it wasn't merit-based, okay? Because they would stop, which we're going to dive into today. They stopped some of that. But to your point, I totally agree. Military should be merit-based.
So what I'll say to that, because our audience is a mature and refined bunch, and there is a difference between awareness and acceptance. I am telling you, everybody is aware, whether they accept it or not, is what you're talking about. They, it's too much out there for you to know how the job works, to know that people are not going, they didn't go to school. You have people, you've had plenty of people in your circle that didn't go to school specifically for what, matter of fact, 92% of people change their majors anyway, but not everybody goes to school and that's the job that they have. So there's some people that feel a certain way when somebody gets a role and that's not what they think that they should be. He shouldn't have the authority. He's too young. He's too whatever to tell me what to do. Sometimes he's too black. You know what I mean? But the moral of the story is awareness and acceptance. So I think you're speaking of acceptance. I'm speaking of awareness, but I want to play the Warpath clip to kind of set the tone for what you're going to be speaking of.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Let me get that in.
New York Times. The Times reports that senior officials are questioning if there is race and gender bias in the Defense Department. As Secretary Hegseth reportedly went out of his way to block the promotions of two black and two female officers. Let me explain. There's a list of about 36 officers up for promotion to general, and most of whom are white men. The Times says Hegseth pressured Army leaders for months to remove 4 of them, but he faced pushback over their record of exemplary service. So Hegseth struck the names off the list himself. I should note, a few black and female officers are still on the promotion list. And while the Pentagon did not directly address the Times' reporting, they did say, quote, Under Secretary Hegseth, military promotions are given to those who have earned them. My next guest is a former 3-star admiral who served as chief of the Navy Reserve. It says Hegseth removed her from her position without cause. She's now running for Congress as a Democrat in South Carolina. Retired Rear Admiral Nancy LaCour joins me now. Admiral, thank you for being here. Do you share the concerns of these senior officials who tell the New York Times that there could be race and gender bias at play here?
I absolutely do. I mean, it's infuriating just to watch Pete Hegseth continue on his path of removing highly qualified senior military officials.
So what say you in that regard? Let me get the back up here.
Yeah. So my friend, I mean, so, you know, at the end of the day, there we go. At the end of the day, well, we've had this situation before, right? So if we back up, you know, these guys have been screaming DEI, DEI, DEI. Number two, he wrote a book that talked about when he got out the military that a lot of people were being promoted. It was all woke and they wasn't qualified, blah, 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 right? Then he came in, and if you remember, they did this dog and pony show where they had all the generals and admirals come in. And then he went and said, hey, you know, if they're not qualified, so be it, blah, 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 blah. So this is not surprising, to be fair. Okay. What the challenge is, and let's go back, and I don't want to, but let's go back. So these people, this is different than the work situation that you were talking about. Okay. The work situation, there's one person who says, hey, I think, Chris should get promoted. All right. And then they may go to your boss and say, hey, I think he deserves it, blah, blah, blah. And then they make it happen. To get promoted to a general or admiral, there's a group of people from a military background, right? That they're the ones that nominate you and they do it based on your background. It's all merit based.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this mm-hmm. is where the military leaders come in. They're not going to put somebody up for a brigadier general, a 1-star general, or a rear admiral, or anybody that's not qualified. That's why they have a group of people that do it, not just based on one or two. I can give you an example. Now, I was never up for general. Okay. But when I was up for sergeant, E5, buck sergeant, it wasn't my platoon sergeant that says, Tony, we're making you sergeant. It don't go that way, right? I had to present in front of a board of 5 individuals. They were all sergeant majors. And I had to go in front of them and answer their questions and all that and do the whole nine yards. Now, my platoon sergeant or whoever, they recommended, but I had to be in front of these people who had 130 years of military experience, okay? So it doesn't matter if they recommend you. If these five individuals with 150 years of military experience says, no, he's not getting promoted, you don't get promoted. Okay, so it's a consensus. It's a board of individuals. So that's at a low level. But when you're talking to be general, you got people that's got military backgrounds that's scoring through these people's records, knowing exactly what they bring to the table, knowing their not just their personnel history, their character, but also what they've done in the battlefield, leadership, whole nine yards. And then so they got to go, they scrutinize. Okay, mm-hmm. Remember how we used to say, when you working in corporate and you a brother and then you see another brother or sister and then you vet them 100% before you mm-hmm. even bring them up because absolutely. You know that right. they're gonna be scrutinized the absolutely. Whole nine yards, absolutely. Right? So take this times 100 times. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so when that's the issue here, and then you have a civilian leader who okay. doesn't know these people. Hasn't been, doesn't know their background, don't know, has nothing to do to say that they're not qualified. Wiping them off, that has to be political or bias or whatever you want to say.
Right, right. So then my question is, but the Secretary of War believes promotions, you know, some people slip through the cracks. He said that in that speech, you know, people slip through the cracks and we got some people, we need to clean this thing up. And all this right. and all of that.
He's right. He slipped through the cracks. He's right. You see my point here? He ain't qualified. All right, but go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, bro. Go ahead.
But see, normally in situations like that, when you know you came in on a hustle, you know you came in on a favor, you be quiet. You don't want to draw attention to something that you're guilty of. And this is not the way, meaning something has changed significantly. So my question to the audience and to you is, although we are aware that things are not merit-based, I want my doctor to be merit-based, right? I want a situation where my doctor went to school for doctoring and went through all the hoops and hurdles in the residencies and this and that. Other situations, like my ad exec, I don't care what you got your minor in or your major in. Like, you could have went to school for something like that. But from a military perspective, do you find it to be important that you grew up understanding the hoops and hurdles and transition through things from a military perspective?
But that's the thing, though, right? It's not based on politics. It's based on qualification and performance. Mm-hmm. That's what it's based on. Okay, mm-hmm. That's just a fact. Okay, mm-hmm. See, like I said, there's so many checks and balances for somebody to be able. Let's put it this way. Let's say there was a friend. Let's use the relationship, the networking part.
Yep, yep.
Okay,
yep.
Let's use that, right? So let's say because me and you hang out at the officers club and we drink a lot and we do this and that, and I'm a colonel and you're a major or a captain, or let's say major, right? And for you to get to a lieutenant colonel, you got to be on this board, right? Now let's say you ain't all that, but you my boy, I love you. So I'm going to say, you know what, buddy, next time, thing comes up, I'm going to put your name in this and that. Hold on. Yeah. So can that happen? Absolutely. Right.
Okay.
But then
okay.
you got to go against another board. You okay. see what I'm saying? And then they're going to okay. scrutinize
okay.
your record in the whole nine yards. Number two, if they scrutinize your record and find out you ain't qualified, then I would get in trouble for even recommending you. Because I did it based on not qualifications and merit. I did it based on friendship. So mm-hmm. there's a lot of checks and balances, right? Especially when you're – see, this is the thing you got to look at it. When you're talking mm-hmm. about a general or admiral, mm-hmm. you're basically talking about a CEO of an organization. That's on that level, okay? So this ain't one dude – interviewing a CEO. This ain't you AT&T. They Stanky just didn't just pop in.
Absolutely.
He's got to go through the board.
They got to go through the board.
That's my point. That's my point. Okay.
Right.
It don't work that way. Okay. Right. Now, if it's a small one-off, if it's a startup, it probably could work that way, right? But you see my point. So when you're talking to the military, you're talking hundreds of years of this being in place, right? So for him to wipe them off had nothing to do but with bias or political or whatever the case may be.
See, the issue is this is exacerbated by the fact that it's not just that he denied promotions or made the rules up as he was going along. He specifically targeted a subset of people that he had previously. Yes. Go ahead.
Right. Yeah. For months. Okay. Yeah. Them specifically. So that should tell you it has nothing to do with their buddy. Here's the thing too. Also, the president is the only person by law that can take a person off the promotion list on that level. Okay. So he did it. Okay, so he, and then he targeted other individuals. Look at who is it? C.Q. Brown, who was the secretary of the army or what?
Yep.
Right, brother, right? Got him out. Now look, I get it. You want to say, hey, I want my own people in here. Okay, I can see that. Okay, but at the end of the day, you target them specifically. Okay, because of gender and race. But at the same time, you're saying that we don't use gender and race. We use qualifications and merit.
Right.
You see my point here? It's all bullshit.
Right.
All right? At the end of the day. And so that when, again, people look this up, the Secretary of Defense, okay, he cannot, at this level, take people off a promotion list. Only the president can do that. Okay. Number two, the reason it's set up, they have military leaders and they have civilian leaders. All right. The civilian leaders are not supposed to get involved in the military stuff. The civilian leaders are supposed to be leading the military in all these things that's going on around the war and this and that, strategy, policy, this and that. The military leaders are the ones that basically, you know, put in the tactics and they're going to make it happen. So they're the ones, based on their experience and the whole nine, that's why they pick who should be promoted. Because it's coming from their ranks. It's coming. You see my point here? So he has he knows nothing about these people. He hasn't worked with them. He hasn't had any. You see my point here? He's just doing this from a political stand. That's why they separated the two. Okay? The military leader. If that was the case, you would have presidents picking generals to be generals. Okay? And that's why they separated that, because they didn't want a general to end up running the country. You see my point here?
Dude, but Tony, you just said in the same breath, he's firing high-ranking generals. So why wouldn't he be able to then hire high-ranking generals?
You can't, when somebody is on the promote, look it up, bro. When they're on a promotion list,
okay,
it's a big difference. You can fire, he can fire people, okay?
Okay?
But when they've been recommended to be promoted, he can't, only the president can take them off the list. He can fire anybody. Okay. But we're talking about promotions. That's what this is about. Okay.
Got you. So at this point, then, instead of him taking them off the list, he should have just fired the four of them.
Look, he ain't going to do that. Right.
No.
Here's the thing. He can fire a general. He's not going to fire a brigadier general who's being promoted. He can fire, like, he's going to go after strategic individuals, 3-4-star generals that's running a bunch of stuff. He's not going to just fire a brigadier general that's on a promotions list.
Okay.
It's just not going to, or rear admiral. What he's trying to do is take them off the list. Okay, which to
why,
be fair,
though? What's the point? That's a waste of time too.
Look, I'm not saying you asking me why. I don't know.
Okay,
I'm just answering your question. Saying why he didn't just fire him.
Right,
he
right, right.
Do that.
Right.
Matter of fact, he doesn't have the ability to from a promotion. Just look it up. They don't, from a promotion standpoint, only the president from a promotion standpoint. OK, because the military leaders are the ones that recommended these people be promoted. And it's a consensus. It's not one person. OK, so in other words, if it was one person doing it, if it was Chris Reed, oh no, if it was Tony Franklin, right? Then he could easily say, well, Tony's biased. He, you know, he only gonna bring his boys in, this and that. So that right there won't fly. That's why it's a consensus. It's a group of people, of other generals. You see my point? That vet these people based on qualifications, based on merit, based on leadership, based on all those things, and then they recommend them.
Right.
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 That's it. That's how it goes. Now, the president can take them off for whatever reason. Right. For whatever reason. I don't know. But okay. Hegseth is not supposed to take them off.
OK, I just find it disarming that this administration and people in it at a leadership role continue to do things that you keep telling me they shouldn't be able to do. And it gets to us. It's not even a situation where they do it. Somebody be like, hey, you know, you weren't supposed to do that. Let's just reverse and this, that. They're doing it and making speeches about it and standing and so, saying something in the New York Times about it.
So here's the thing, though, bro. So you're 100% right. Right. I can't speak to that. All right. They wasn't supposed to come up with a $1.8 billion fund to that the people who came up with who attacked Congress on January 6th can dive into and say I can get money from it. OK,
right.
So they've been doing that. All I'm saying is this: people need to be educated, because you just saw in the clip. OK, mm-hmm. What did the clip say at the end? It says the people we promote are ones that deserve it, or some shit.
Deserve
like that.
It. Deserve. All yep. Right. They said deserve. Yep. So that made merit.
So my point is, so yep. Exactly. Right.
Yep.
And so if that was the, think about it for a second. If that was the case, let's just back up. If that was the case, then it would be his department. His job would to be then to recommend people to get promoted. You see my point here?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then he would be picking them. Okay? That's the point I'm trying to make. That's not part of his job. Okay? But let's see what some of the peeps are saying, right?
Yeah,
so number one,
yeah.
Thank you, Mojo. Happy Tuesday, my friend.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, she reached out and said, Happy Tuesday, Happy Tuesday. And then we got Sal says, it's
Sal,
not
what's going
what
on,
you
Sal?
Know. But who you know, old Sal.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And then Daniel Young says, on paper, he can fire someone, but off paper, he can tell someone to promote someone. I think that does happen, military or civilian.
Okay.
So what Daniel is saying, he can tell somebody to promote these people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Recommend it.
Okay, he can recommend. So again, I don't want to speak because that part I'm not sure about. Okay,
okay.
But I know for a fact for general. See, and let's be fair. What we're talking generals.
Yep,
okay,
generals.
We're talking admirals. All right,
yep.
So we're not talking a major or hey, bring this person in this company. These are major military roles, and typically to be promoted those roles, they have to go through a serious vetting process. So Daniel, to your point, he could probably say he could recommend. You know, I think Chris Reed would be good. You know, general. Mm-hmm. And he chat with one of his lackeys and probably try to get him on the list or get him vetted. But it's still got to go through a vetting process. Okay. Now,
okay.
Could he wink, wink and right. Be like, look, just make it happen? I guess.
Right.
But I'm not sure.
Let me ask you this, Tom, because this, you actually inspire something for me. So is there networking in the military? Is there smoozing? Is there, you know, buddying up to higher ranking individuals? What's the point of it if it doesn't really get you anywhere?
No. So again, man. All those things still happen, okay? But so let me give you an example. I give you a prime example. Remember I told you when I had to stand in front of those five first sergeants, okay? And typically they ask questions, military questions, and this and that on our yards, right? They asked me a question. One of them said, so what happened in Canada today at the U.S. Embassy? had nothing to do with military, right? Okay. And I said, first sergeant, there was a person that brought a gun. I forget what happened, because I happened to watch CNN that morning. And that's one of the things. They want to make sure that you're staying on top of current events. Gotcha. Okay. And know what's going on in the world.
Gotcha.
Okay. So did I prepare for that? No. But I was just happening to be watching that. And so the most points you can get is 250. That's when you max the board, right?
Yep.
Everybody is one guy, and he was G.I. Joe. He got 250. Okay. Mm-hmm. Everybody else got 220. I got 236. Okay. And I was an Army dude, right? I wasn't Mr. G.I. Joe and stuff. Right. But my point I'm trying to make, I was knowledgeable. Okay. And all those things. So what I'm saying is that, yes, networking, you still got to get your name out there. You still got to take your wife to the things and all that type stuff. Right. So those things do matter.
Why? For what?
What do you mean why?
Why would you need to do that if you got G.I. Joe guy and you come in, you a loner, you a wolf, and you got all of the game?
Come
and
on, stop. Marksman of the year and all that. Second. Come on, let's be
fair.
What
do you need to do all that for?
Because here's the thing, you get appointed to different jobs. You may not get promoted. They may move you from infantry to intelligence. Okay. Where now more people can see you. Okay. And so those are things. Or they move you from here to headquarters, where now you're more visible. And now that's why. So there's probably more to it as well. But the networking part is always key. But your networking ain't gonna make you a general. In other words, it's not gonna, they're gonna be you're a buck sergeant, you start networking, you become a general. It don't work that way. You gotta go through so many different hoops, man. If anybody looked it up, you would understand what I'm talking about, right? So, but the networking part, current events, character, family, all those things matter too, right? Now, going back to your point, why did you think let's throw this out to the audience. If Hex says doesn't really know these people, if he hasn't worked with them, so he doesn't really, he can read what's on paper, right? But the vetting process went through and knew these people work and the whole nine yards. And they said they got exemplary careers. They should get promoted. So why did you think he took them off? How could he take, what would be the reason for them to take him off? What could he use to take them off?
I don't know the justification he used, but I know his desire was to set the tone. He's setting the tone in the fact that he's supporting something that he had said previously. He's reinforcing his own position of certain people don't deserve.
No. But how could he come up with that for them, though?
Oh, shit. I can't call it.
So, I don't know, but I can, right. I can imagine. Okay. So, it's easy, bro. So, matter of fact, I'll tell you a long story.
Okay.
My brother-in-law told me a story where he was friends with a guy who was was a drug dealer working for some other dude, right? And the dude got in trouble and had to get out of town because he messed up the man's money or something of that nature, right?
Okay.
So make a month or two later, my brother-in-law is working at a car wash. And this dude, the drug dealer dude came in. He didn't know my brother-in-law, this and that. And then my brother-in-law's friend, who he knew, they worked together. He said, hey, Joe, I want you to meet Walt. This Mike's boy, all right? So Mike was the guy that had to get out of town, that took the money. As soon as he said, this is Mike's boy, my man looked at him like, oh, you Mike's boy. So now he's associated with him. Ain't got nothing to do with nothing, but just because he know them. So what do you think Hexet probably did? He probably looked in their records and saw that they were promoted or they had worked for somebody.
Right. That was on the list.
Probably not on the same level with the administration. We taking them off. That's probably what happened. Had nothing to do with merit. Had nothing to do with they wasn't qualified. It's that they looked and said, he's Mike's boy. See my point? Okay. Does that make sense?
Yep.
That's probably the only thing that he could do.
Okay. Right? That makes sense.
In other words, if I'm just make this up. if Obama, let's say the dude worked for Obama in Obama White House, right? Mm-hmm. Had nothing to do with Obama, but just because he worked in Obama White House as a colonel or something that nature, that was like, good enough, we don't want him. And so we taking him off. Had nothing to do with his merit or anything like that, just association with somebody else, that's probably, to me, that's the reason.
Yeah, he's trying to poison the whole coaching tree.
You see
what you're saying?
That's only way they can do it. That's the, what else can he do? How could he can't say they're not qualified. He has nothing to do with that. So it had to be guilt by association.
Right.
All right. That's what that was.
Now, unfortunately, he did say that they weren't qualified by saying we only promote people that earn it.
But
so,
he
backdoored into it.
No. He's going to say that outwardly, but there's no, but inwardly, it was probably association. It was probably association.
Gotcha. So the reason why this became a powder keg for me and something I wanted to talk about on this platform was because of the implications downstream. So we talk about leadership. We talk about Black leadership, right? And you talked about these folks being CEOs and things like that. So I want to jump into this clip. And then it's going to talk about the far-reaching ramifications of decisions like this. And so bear with me, folks, because this is going to be a doozy. And I want to unpack it with y'all tonight.
Today, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth is military promotions are given to those who have earned them. Joining me now is Greg Jaffe, one of the reporters behind that piece. Welcome to you, Greg. What more can you tell us about Hegseth's decision and the officers who were targeted?
So the main thing is that this is just really highly unusual, that the Army and Secretary Hegseth have been sort of bickering over this or arguing over this. Bickering's not the right word, for months now. And it's not clear that Secretary Hegseth has the legal authority to pull these names off the list. Those are the main things, I think.
Okay, so can anything be done to fight it? And I remember reading something that he has to approve, or typically the defense secretary has to approve the entire list or not approve the entire list. Is that true? And in this case, does it apply?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So it's either an up or down on the entire list. And the reason is because the process is supposed to be apolitical. And so the idea is, in doing it that way, it takes politics out. The list has now gone to the White House, which will review it, and then it will go to the Senate. So I think the main chance to reverse this is possibly in the Senate, which could take a position that, you know, this process was improper and then kick it back to the Pentagon.
So, Greg, you also report about a heated conversation between Hegseth's chief of staff, that's Ricky Buria, and Army Secretary Daniel Driscoll. It was last summer, and it was about a separate promotion. Three current and former defense and administration officials familiar with the exchange say Buria said President Trump would not want to stand next to a Black female officer at military events. Buria, for his part, has called the account of that interaction false. But what does this signal to you about the culture at the Pentagon that Hegseth and top DOD officials are trying to create?
Yeah, I think that's exactly the right word, culture, sort of command climate. I think there's a lot of confusion and uncertainty about that has grown out of sort of Hegseth's DEI, anti-DEI push. And his writings, both before he became secretary and his speeches since, that people were improperly promoted because of race or gender. And so kind of nobody knows where the line is, or nobody completely seems to understand what the standard is. And, you know, it's worth noting the language in his book on this topic was exceptionally harsh. He called, you know, many of the generals promoted under Secretary Lloyd Austin and President Biden. He described them as, you know, cowards hiding under their stars and whores to wokesters. So, you know, we put that language out there. I think it has a real chilling effect on people.
Oh, yeah. Well, on top of that, Hegseth has repeatedly said he wants to cut out woke from the military and make it all merit-based. But now the chairman and vice chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, all five service chiefs and 9 of the 10 top commanders, Greg, they're white men. So what impact does that have on our military and service members?
Well, I think it's worth noting, too, that the military, you know, is around 40-45%, you know, people of color.
Okay, I want to stop there because that's the military. I'm gonna start where he stopped. The military is half people of color. He said 45% people of color. So when you use the analogy of this is like a CEO of a company, you're a CEO of a company and half of the people that work there are people of color. But you're making a rule or you're creating a dynamic where nobody in charge can be a person of color. When 50% of the people that work and die here, because it's military, right, is people of color. How dangerous is that, chat, tone? What are we doing here? Because he said culture. But what are we doing here? Well, we have so many people of color that represent the stars and stripes proudly. And you're setting a tone in your policy that, like he said, 9 out of 10 are white dudes.
Yeah, buddy. So here's the thing, man, which really bothers me. And so that would be that's very problematic, right? Half the people,
yes, sir,
blah, blah, blah. But it goes deeper than that. So I want to back up to what she was saying that he wrote in his book. Okay. And this is the mindset that
The horse, the wokesters?
Yeah,
you talk about the horse, the wokesters, the deeper, that's deeper than the lenses.
But here's the mindset, man. Here's the mindset that, unfortunately, you know, a lot of people have. If a lot of black people get promoted, they're not qualified, and they only got the job because the person gave it to them because they were black.
On the hookup.
Right?
On the hookup.
And so that's what he – so that's the first thing. So Lloyd Austin was the chief of – was the joint chiefs of staff. Okay, right? No, excuse me. Secretary of Defense.
Secretary of Defense. Yeah, he was Secretary of Defense. Okay. Yeah, he was okay. He was before the Secretary of War came in. Yeah, exactly. Before the Secretary of War
Secretary
came
Defense.
In.
He was Secretary of Defense. Okay, black guy. Okay? And so because people got promoted, that was just basically saying, well, he just promoted them because they were black. They wasn't qualified versus them probably languishing and never being recommended. See, that's the thing. You got to be recommended.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And they could have been overqualified. But anytime you get more than one person or more than one at the same time that get promoted, they're not qualified. There has to be some type of social issue or social remedy that's going through. So that's really the issue here. Okay. So that's the issue. Because you could get 10 white people. So they just got finished saying, 19 people on the list. Okay.
36. Yeah.
Two was black and two was, and
two was women.
Two was
they
women.
They got nixed.
Yep. Okay.
Yep.
So think about that. So it's okay for 32 all white men to get promoted the same, they got to be qualified. They have to be. Sorry, they have
by
to
default,
be.
Huh?
Right? They have, by default. We ain't got no issue with them. Right? Versus these two or three or four, they can't all, maybe one couldn't be, but not all of them. You see my point? Mm-hmm. That's the issue. That's the bigger issue. That's the issue that they're talking about. Okay? So that's it. So that's why he's going after them in clusters. Mm-hmm. because think about it. Wait a minute, she just got finished saying, and I had looked at a couple other articles. There was another one with the Air Force. I think there were 19 people that were getting promoted, and I can't remember the number of people that were of color and women that he axed. Okay, but it's the same thing. So you're selectively trying to go to every branch,
yep,
and then take out the people of color and women. And say that they're not qualified when their peers, okay? When their peers, and let's be fair here too now, okay? How long these guys been in power?
A year and a half.
Well, it's a year and a half, right?
Yeah.
So these people, so hold on for a second. These people have come up, and look, you just don't come up the ranks as a general in a year and a half, but they've been in under this administration for a year and a half, okay? Mm-hmm. And so, So you can't say they come from the old administration. They were on the records, on the promotion rolls from the old administration, and you don't want to do that. These are chosen by people in your administration now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You see my point here? And mm-hmm. and then it still ain't good enough. So, but if this ain't got nothing to do with race I don't know what does. Because there's no reason. You're targeting people. Okay? And then look at you. And here's the other thing. Look at his ass. Okay? Look at
I knew you was gonna do this.
We just went to we had whose episode comes out next week? Roy Austin Jr. I was just looking at it before it came on here, right?
Okay.
And he said something it's funny. He was like, you know what? What was the clip? And I'm gonna put it out on social media because he said it. We were laughing. He says, you know, one thing President Trump shows that white people is dumb because mostly all the people on his staff ain't qualified.
right.
Okay.
Right.
And buddy, it's, so my point is, it's okay for them to pick, you know, Fox News anchors. WWE wrestling people, it's okay for them to pick any type of person from whatever, all right? Just pluck them from there. It's okay for him to use his personal attorney and make them a U.S. attorney to go after somebody who don't know anything about anything. It's okay to do that. But at the end of the day, you're going to go through the military with these people coming through the ranks through years.
Years,
and they're not qualified.
They survived the first administration because you don't get to the general status in less than, you know, 20 years, 30 years.
30 years.
So absolutely.
They were there when Trump was there. They were there when Obama was there. They was there.
Yep.
Buddy, stop. So that's why it's not political.
These guys
are coming through. It's not. So think about it. It's not somebody who was in the military for 10 years, then became a Fox News host, and then got plucked for the Secretary of Defense.
Right.
Okay? And so at the end of the day, these people have been through the wars, and I'm not saying physical wars, but they've been through the ringer in the military for years.
Right.
Right?
Right. Right.
So
M from KU said, if it's not clear that race has been centered by this administration, then you're willfully ignorant, right? These actions visually place white people at the top of all posts, symbolically, for their desire. So the issue is this. I don't like the fact that there are no stopgaps or no measures that could be taken to protect us as citizens or as people from these antics. I get the fact that it happens. And think this administration has more lawsuits. Let's stop talking about the laws, right? It has more lawsuits against it that it'll probably lose that don't matter because it's not about, as we talked about, the chaos theory. It's not about the wins or losses for real. It's about the discombobulation. It's about keeping us, you know, spinning this way and that way. We're actively, think about it. We're talking about this whilst we're actively in a war. That he should be more concerned. That should be 24 hours, 7 days a week. His primary concern is getting us out of this war. Yet he's going down the ranks to do stuff he has no business doing. I'm not going to say impeachable. How is this? How do you keep, you and I can't keep our roles while we act as buffoons in our positions?
Well, here's,
and, here, go ahead. Go
here's
ahead,
the thing though, bro. Going to your point, checks and balances. So, one of the things is that it doesn't, we have, I don't want to say it, it, I don't want to say recourse. So if you work for somebody who's white and they promote you, okay? At the end of the day, they can say you only got promoted because you was a token, right? They needed to have somebody black there, right? Then if you finally get somebody in who's black, and then they promote you, then it was because you were black.
It was the
hookup.
See
the point?
Yeah.
So back to your question, like, what can we do? There's nothing you can do.
There's nothing.
Okay? Because at the end of the day, even if you have people that look like you, who's in positions of authority, I want to paint broad brushes because, you know, we're talking about his administration versus private sector, right? But all I'm saying is it's a double-edged sword because here's the thing. When Obama became president, let's be fair, okay? When Obama became president, they immediately like, oh, he going to look after the black people, okay? Which he didn't, okay? But it didn't matter. It didn't matter. You see my point here? So my friend, to answer your question, there is no recourse. Okay, the recourse is us speaking about it and putting it out there, just like every other outlet and stuff to that nature.
Have
when you say there's a law, When you say there should be a law, well, they used to be. It used to be called a department. It was called the EEOC.
Right.
Where they at?
Right.
Where they at?
I think the hard time that I have is this. I remember, I'm old enough to remember, Barack Obama wore a tan suit. And they was talking about impeaching him over a tan suit. Like, I hear this a lot from older folks and from people. They say, man, if Obama had did any of this stuff that Trump is doing,
right.
If Obama had did one of these things, it would have been fire in the city. You think January 6th was something and all those people got pardoned? If you think, and they're getting paid off of it now, too, that's a whole nother podcast, right? That's a whole
nother
podcast.
They're not going to get paid now. They squashed that.
They squashed it.
That it was up.
Thank you. Thank you. Because at some point in time, you justify these antics and these behaviors by promoting and condoning them. You have to distance yourself from goofiness. And unfortunately, this administration is embracing all of the goofy. The loyalty, like you said, it's all about loyalty and it's all about who, right? He's pardoned more people in this term based on them donating. It's about making bread. And it's about, look, this is the corrupted. I'm from Illinois, bro. Think about this. I'm from Illinois, and I'm calling this corrupt. We've had more governors go to prison. I should be numb to this.
What was the dude's name? I forgot the dude, the last governor. What was the dude's name? He was trying to sell the Senate seat or something. What was that dude's name? I forget his name.
It's our bid now.
I forget his name.
You know, our leaders go to prison.
I forgot that.
This is ridiculous.
Buddy, but it goes to show you, and I meant double-edged sword, but it goes to show you that they feel they can do whatever they want to do. Okay? So we can create policy. We can create stuff. You can't stop us from doing it. And then now we can go after people and this and that, but then we can hire anybody we want. Okay? We don't have, you see, that's the issue, man. So here's the thing. I could buy this. I still couldn't buy it. But if you were pristine and you, every person that ever worked for you, you put them through the wash and you made sure they had this. So your whole process of vetting people has been to that level where you make sure, then you know what? I can say, okay. But when you don't never done that, and then you bring in cronies yourself, and you bring in people, a ton of people ain't qualified, and then what was her name? The HHS? What was she? Riding on a horse? All right? You know, what was her name?
Bondi.
Not Bondi. She was the Attorney General. I'm talking the HHS. Not HHS.
Christy Noem.
Yeah. Right? You got her. She was doing TV commercials like she a cowgirl.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And she's telling people on national TV that the person that they murdered was trying to kill all of them. Right? Just flat out. Right? Not even qualified. Okay? To have the job. But then you're going to try to scrutinize these people who came up the ranks. Been in the military for 20, 25 years, went through everything. And then finally, you're gonna try to squash them because they might have been associated with somebody else? That's insane.
Well, see, it's a situation where I don't even know if it has to go that far for them to be associated with anybody else. They happen to be the wrong gender and the wrong color. So think about the reason why this becomes a tough situation is the numbers for me. When we have issues, we don't represent. Robert Gorvitch.
That's what's up. Is he still in jail? This dude trying to sell a sentence.
So when we don't have the numbers that represent the majority of the population, they say we don't have enough numbers to have a say so or a stake in the game. I'm telling you that 45% of the military is people of color, and those numbers don't even matter. So in the concept of I have ambitions to be something, I have the numbers to back me. From a majority perspective, yet you're putting things in place to where my ambition should be squashed. Why in the hell would I spend 30 years trying to get someplace that you've shown me they're about to rewrite the record books or rewrite the rules that's not going to allow for me to do so? Like Montana said, the game is foul and the refs is dirty.
You know what I'm saying? I hear
you. I can't
you.
Play that game.
Here's the thing, though, bro. So I hear you. And it's tough because at the end of the day, when you're in the military and you made a career out of it, it's hard to just get up and say, I quit.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
So, you know, and let's be fair. What's the percentage of people that make it to general? Okay. Out of a 1 million man army or whatever the case may be. Okay. So it's very small. Right.
But 100% of ones who don't try. 100% exactly. There's a certain dog that you have to have in you to go to that level.
But that's
the point.
And if
they kill the dogs early.
But that's the point. And again, going back to what my man, hey guys, make sure you check out our upcoming episode with Roy Austin Jr., who worked in the Obama White House, a prominent civil rights attorney. You're going to really love what, I was just looking at it. It's just blown away. But please check that out. It's coming out next Tuesday. But he brought this up himself. He said, think about it. He said, how can you try to convince me that 6% of black students that go to these universities, they're taking somebody else's scholarship? Okay.
Right.
6%.
Right.
6%. It's not 50% that's going to 6%
right.
are
right,
going
right, right.
3%, 4% are going to, and then they're making a big deal that, oh, they're getting free scholarships. They take my scholarship. That makes no sense. So let's do the same numbers here. You got 45% of people of color that's part of the military. The ones that are being promoted to general or admiral or whatever the case may be ain't even 1%. And you going after them? That's the point.
Yep.
That's the point. That makes no sense. Yep. None whatsoever. Yep. Okay? And so just look at the math. It was 36 that's on the list. Two were people of color and two were women. Okay. Yeah. So the other 32 is all white. All right. So what's the percentage of that? That's like 98-99%. Yeah. And you focus on me. That's the thing.
Well, they drew the short straw. She did say that it was some people of color that remained on the list. That number was probably low. I guess the fact is you have enough to be concerned about in your tenure as an officer to not have to think that there should be, I did all the things I'm supposed to do. See, that's the tough part about it. You talk to old black folks, right? And they talk about doing things the right way and paying your taxes and doing your time. And you know what I'm saying? All of this, the right way, the right way, the right way. And then you got all these cats now cutting the line, and the concept of having the ability to do whatever you want to do when a structure was already put in place is not a good sentiment for a young America. It's not a good sentiment for people who are coming up to say, wait a second, why should I have to? Let's not even talk about black folks. We're talking about young white folks that are influenced by this to say, wait a second, you could just do whatever the hell you want. You don't have to abide by this protocol, that protocol, because like they said, this still is going to go in front of the Senate, and the Senate may still keep the list. Okay, these people aren't just summarily gone because there's still a process in place. But the fact that these folks can get a wild hair and upset the apple cart during a war. Like we keep getting distracted by this stuff, not realizing they have a regular job they should be doing. What are you doing over here? You should have something better to do than this. And when you say, well, people who get promoted around here, when I'm in charge, have to earn those promotions. Merit should clarify the decision, not conceal it. Because you're not telling me why those two she's, and the two people of color aren't promotable. You're just saying something which is casting aspersions on stellar careers. Everybody else is saying these people are exemplary. I can show you all the low spades as to why they're this, that, and the third. And you have the position to where you say very little and it means a lot, because now we're wondering, who are these people who don't deserve it? It's putting something in my mind to say he has to. It's so ridiculous to think he doesn't have a point, and it's only going to be saddened. I'm going to be more sad when we realize or prove that he doesn't have a point. And now I'm back to what you said. What are we doing this for?
Chris, he doesn't have a buddy. I don't even know why you even stress it like that. He doesn't have a point. They've been vetted. Okay.
Right,
they've been
vetted. Right.
And let's be fair though, too. Okay. You're a historian. Okay. Mm-hmm. McClellan, who was a general, for Lincoln. Was he a great general?
Mm-hmm.
Cullen?
No, McClellan wasn't. No.
No. Okay.
No, he wasn't.
No.
No.
We can go
no.
through list after list of people that came through the ranks, and when they got the job, they didn't do a good job at the job. And they were white people. Okay? So my point I'm trying to make, man, is that this is a strategy, what we've been saying for the last year and a half. And so it's not shocking. And the one thing I want you to be careful of, because you keep saying, well, I'm from, and you didn't mean it this way, but it's like, oh, you know, are they qualified? They're qualified. That's not even in question. They're qualified.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay, gotcha. So there's nothing to see, and that's what they want. They want people to be doubting. Like all the people are blemishes, have no blemishes, but these people. That's not true, man. That doesn't even make sense. Okay, so why would you even think that? Especially if you know the vetting process. This makes sense. You know what you have to go through to get on that list? Stop, man. Stop. This is a strategy, okay? And that's all it is, period, okay? And they're going to continue to do it until they're stopped. That's just a fact. And they're going to use the oldest game playbook. They ain't qualified. It's merit-based. We only promote the people who deserve it. That's an old playbook that's full of shit because his own administration doesn't follow it.
Exactly. You couldn't turn the mirror on it. So as we close, we appreciate y'all giving, you know, feedback and continue the comments, even, you know, off the live. And what I'm really trying to say here is if the officers weren't ready, say why. If the board was wrong that chose them, like Tony said, explain how. And if the standards have changed, just tell me what the new standards are and define them. But this silence, this lack of transparency is why we're in upheaval. So appreciate you guys coming, chatting with us, sticking by this, you know, letting me rant. And, you know, definitely help that you guys were on here to kind of bring some relevance to the force. Thanks, Sal. You know, thanks, Daniel, you know, coming in saying stuff. Thanks, Let Us Say So, for giving the corrupt governors. That's always a good thing. So, you know, so we appreciate y'all coming out, support our guests, support our platforms, and continue the conversation offline because these decisions affect all of us, whether we realize it or not. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And look, we're more than just one show, right? We want you guys to check out all of our other shows under a Black Executive Perspective Podcast Network. Need to Know with Dr. Nasinger Burton, Pull Up, Speak Up, and a Mixed Executive Perspective Podcast. Our mission, making uncomfortable conversations comfortable. Make sure you check them all out.
And then, of course, we want to remind you our call to action is LESS, L-E-S-S. Our goal is to eliminate all forms of discrimination. And to achieve this, we ask for everybody to embrace LESS. The L stands for learn. Educate yourself on racial, cultural, political nuances.
Absolutely. And then after you learn, you have the letter E, which stands for empathy. Now, since you've learned, you should be more empathetic to your friends and colleagues because you can put yourself in their shoes.
And then the first S is for share. You want to share your insights and enlighten others.
And the final S stands for stop. We want everyone to stop discrimination as it walks in your path. It's so easy. If you're at the Sunday dinner table with Aunt Jenny and Uncle Joe, if one of them says anything that's inappropriate, instead of laughing and giggling, just push back and say, Aunt Jenny, Uncle Joe, we don't believe that. We don't say that. Stop it right there. Because if we all can incorporate less, L-E-S-S, we'll build a more fair, more understanding world. And we all will see the change that we want to see because less will become more.
Check us out at all of our socials at A Black Exec. Check out the academy that we run at www.execpodcastacademy.com. And as always, we are not here to tell you what to think. We're here to challenge how deeply your thoughts are about it. So like, comment, subscribe, and until next Tuesday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, 5 Pacific, tell a friend to tell a friend, bring somebody with you, and we'll see you then.
Absolutely. Guys, thanks a lot for your engagement. Love you a lot. We'll see you next week.